This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
Before the days of Angry Birds and Farmville, before even the days of Mario Brothers and Pac-Man, there was another game out there, mostly, though, for those of the nerdy persuasion. Dungeons and Dragons is what I speak of. Nerdy, perhaps, but also with some potential to be big business. David Ewalt is the author of a new book. It's called Of Dice and Men, The Story of Dungeons and Dragons and the People Who Play It. He is, for those of you who know what this means, a level 15 cleric. It says so right on the front cover. David, welcome to the program.
Nice to be here.
You are very upfront in this book. In fact, you are on the front of this book saying, hey, I play this game, and yes, it's a little geeky, but get over it.
Yeah, the game has a kind of odd reputation. It got this weird tinge of not only geekiness, but in the 1980s, it was lumped in with heavy metal and other things like that as a corrupter of children and possibly satanic.
Possibly.
Possibly. Yeah. Well, you know, there was a lot of hysteria because no one had ever seen a game like this before. Here are these books covered with pictures of demons and monsters, and there was like an easy conclusion to jump to.
Maybe what we ought to do is just give a primer, right, with the polyhedral dice and the role-playing and all that stuff. So give me like the 30-second elevator pitch for Dungeons & Dragons.
The way I like to describe the game is as collaborative storytelling. It's not a simple board game like Monopoly where you're moving a piece around a board and have a set goal. You're really sitting around a table with a bunch of other people and participating in an adventure that happens mostly in your heads.
The company that created and published this game called Tactical Studies Rules never did wind up managing to make a profit. About 15 years ago, it was bought by another company called Wizards of the Coast that are doing other games. It just, this kind of got buried in the corporate inertia, sort of.
Yeah, it's a really interesting case study of things that can go wrong with a startup. These are guys who were gamers, first and foremost. They didn't know how to run a company. And when the game exploded in popularity in the late 70s and early 80s, they suddenly had so much revenues in, they didn't know what to do with it, and they spent it in a lot of really stupid ways. They invested in things like a company that made needlepoint kits just because they could. They ran into inventory problems very quickly, and the company's finances crashed and burned, and they had to be rescued in a buyout.
Do you have any sense of how big this game is? Not you know, dollars and cents, but numbers of participants?
The best estimates is that probably somewhere between 30 and 40 million people around the world have played the game over the last 40 years.
And how many do you suppose, like, in a given year? I mean, is there a way to know that?
There's no real way to know, because the problem is even the publisher of the game right now, Wizards of the Coast, is owned by Hasbro now.
Oh,
they know,
man,
how many books. Yep.
That must kill you guys, honestly.
It's good and bad. I mean, in one sense, it's, you know, it's sort of the empire coming in and buying out your little pirate ship. But on the other hand, they've got the resources now to put out some really cool product.
If Hasbro came out one day and said, we are going to create some iPad app version of Dungeons & Dragons, would that be a great thing for you guys? Or would it be... And I realize when I say you guys, I'm lumping you all in together, all the players of this game. Would it be a good thing, or would it be sort of this week's sign of the apocalypse?
It depends on who you ask, and that's actually what's happening right now. Hasbro has realized that probably the most valuable thing in Dungeons & Dragons is the brand Dungeons & Dragons. It's
right,
not necessarily the role-playing game itself. And right now what they're doing is there is already a couple online versions of the game. They're releasing new video games, and they're pushing hard to sort of brand a broad range of fantasy-themed entertainment as Dungeons & Dragons.
Building that empire, man.
Yeah. It's just like the game. You level up after time.
That's right. David Ewalt writes on gaming for Forbes magazine. He also writes a book. It's called Of Dice and Men, about Dungeons and Dragons. David, thanks a bunch.
Thanks for having me.